Lord Jesus, we pray that knowing you would be something that's real, something that's a friendship that grows over time, and something will lead to change in our lives, that we might be more like you. And we ask that as we think this morning about this really important teaching, that you do your work in us by your Spirit, we pray. Amen. That's not fair. What about mine? What about me? You may recognize those words from home. Family arguments can be over all sorts of things. It can be over toys. It can be over sharing food or sharing time on the computer. But more often than not, arguments are about money. When someone dies, all they have is passed on to other people. It's called inheriting. So their house, their clothes, their toys, their gadgets, their money, their everything, it goes on to other people. Now, in the Bible reading, there was this man who, well, he was asking a question about that. And Jesus, he begins to show him how he's living a very empty life, one where he's thinking about himself, but not really thinking about anything else. And Jesus told him a very important message, and I hope you pick it up this morning. This is from Luke chapter 12. If you're not familiar with the story, you might want to turn back to it. Even if you are, you might want to check out what I'm saying. But he gave this important message. And I'll see if I can get it right. Who's going to guess? What do you think the next word? I'm painting in red and you should be able to see some yellow. Lasting. Lasting, what's he telling them about? Let me give you a clue. The first letter is the letter. Barry can see from the back. I think that was his voice I heard. Lasting treasure. And that was something very important to hear about. Jesus was teaching people about how to be loyal to God. So to keep following God and not to give up. And to be a friend of God. And someone asked the question. They said to him, "Teacher," which is very kind of, you know, very polite. "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the property our father left us." Luke chapter 12, verse 13. That's the question he's got. And people went to the teachers, the rabbis, because they were the ones who knew what the Old Testament said about God and how to live God's way. How could we live as a friend of God? Because that's a very important thing. How can we live as a friend of God? And they taught people how to live God's way. So they looked at the commands, the teachings, and said, well, this is what it means in your situation. And so that's why the man went up to Jesus and asked him to, well, I think he was really asking him to back him up, wasn't he? Wasn't he saying, "Jesus, I want you to agree with me and to tell him." We can do that with Jesus' teaching, can't we? But listen to what Jesus does, because Jesus says something surprising. He said, "Well, who appointed me to be judge over you?" In other words, why should I decide for you? Which is a strange thing to say, because we know that Jesus is the right one to make those judgments. But he wanted to teach the man a lesson. And here's an important lesson, which is this. A full life does not come from a full purse. A full life does not come from a full purse. Now, Jesus knew what was in the man's heart and why he'd asked the question. So he said this, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life is not measured by how many things he owns." So if you own lots of things, and some houses are full of stuff, and some have got less in, it doesn't mean that someone's more important or they've got a better life because they've got more stuff. Now, the man was trying to get Jesus to agree to what he wanted, which really, in a simple word, was this. What he wanted was more. He wanted more, didn't he? And the problem was, he wanted more all the time because there was something wrong with him. Something that I want to call eye disease. And if I describe it, you might know what it's like. Because eye disease is when we say things like, I want this, I want that, I want what I want, and I want it
now.
I think you know exactly what it's like. And the thing is, you see, God made us to be his friends, but eye disease, that spoils the relationship with God. We're made to be friends with God, but our eye disease means we can't be friends with God. We can't know him. We don't have the best in this life. It spoils our friendships with others, and it means that we can't go to heaven when we die. So it's a very serious thing. Now, this man didn't realize what was going on. He just thought that, well, the more that he had, the happier his life would be. And so he worked to earn more money. He built more space in his house. It was another extension. He bought more toys. He got lovely holidays booked up. He had more gadgets to do things with. And he enjoyed more food and drink. And so it went on. He just had more. But he couldn't see that the most important thing in life was to know God. And how knowing God changed his friendships with other people too. Well, Jesus warns against greed, a form of eye disease, which stops us from trusting in God because we start to trust in the things that make our lives comfortable. Now, Jesus told this story about the man who was rich, who thought he was very wise, but he turned out to be a fool. The man worked very hard to make his own life very comfortable. And it was a good thing that he worked hard. And he thought to himself one day when he saw all that he was producing. He was a farmer, a very successful farmer. And when he saw what he was producing, he said, "What shall I do?" And
you change, you know, you change your name.
You've had so long to think, you should know the answer now. What was he going to do? Did anyone listen to that reading earlier? What did he decide to do? What did he have to do first? He had to tear down the small, pingly one he had before he could build a really big one. So he had to clear the site, and then he started to build, and it got a bit bigger. No doubt the next year, because he had even more crops, he probably added an extension. And there he had it, a most massive, massive barn for all his lovely crops. And he said to himself, "You've got plenty of good things laid up for you for the future. It's time to take it easy. time to enjoy yourself. I mean, you've worked hard. You've been up early every morning, to bed late and in between. It's time to work hard. Let's put him in his new place. Who's got one of these in their garden? Have you got one of those? A little hammock or a special, very comfortable chair in which you sit and there he slept. And yet he was living as if there was no God, because what he said, if you read the words very carefully, look at verse 17 to 19, it says this. He says, "My crops, my barns, my grain, my goods, myself." And that's what his whole life was about. It was, everything was mine. It's all mine. And he forgot that everything we actually have is a gift from God. We're to look after things, and we're to use them to help other people. But this rich man, he said, he wanted more, and it's mine. And the problem wasn't all the profit he made. That wasn't a bad thing. But it was what was going on inside, his greed, his eye disease. He only lived to satisfy himself. And so what he did, he was living for now. Let me write up something else. You might use this phrase. He was living for the moment. He was living for the moment. And the man was living as if there was no future. And then he got a very big shock. Do you remember in the story what happened next? All of a sudden, his plans were cancelled. He had lots of plans, and then suddenly, there were no plans. Because God said this, verse 20, "You fool, tonight you will die." And so who will get what you've prepared for yourself? Who will get it? Who would get it? Other people, wouldn't they? There'll be a day when each of us has to answer to God for how we live in this life. We will have lots of plans in our lives, but are we planning to, at the end of our lives, to pack up all our stuff and take it with us to show God and say, "God, are you impressed with what I've got? I've got suitcase after suitcase of stuff. Are you impressed, God?" Will God say, "Well done. That's just what I wanted you to do"? Now, you see, the riches of this life are actually bolted to the ground, so they can't move. We don't take it with us when we go. All that we have is left to other people. And Jesus says, verse 21, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God." And so the rich man was actually a fool. He spent his whole life saving money, and he'd never invested, never put his money into the bank of heaven, as we say. Well, how can we be rich towards God? Well, we're to make sure that one thing is right. We've got to make sure that our heart is right with God. All of us can think of things, I've used the wrong brush, all of us have got to think of things in our lives that have come from God. The things that we have. And we've all got lots of things, different amounts, different people, but we're to use them the way that pleases God. And the man in the crowd, he was so close to Jesus, wasn't he? He could have touched Jesus. This is the one who's the real source of all life. If you want a full life, it's about knowing Jesus. He could have touched out and reached out and stretched him. But he had that eye disease, and he couldn't see how important it was to know Jesus. Jesus was somebody who'd never done anything wrong. And when Jesus died on the cross, we know that Jesus was being punished, not for anything that he'd done wrong because he lived a perfect life, but He was punished for anything that you and I have done wrong, and anyone who trusts and believes in Jesus has done wrong, in order to take away that eye disease which cuts us off from God, so that we can know God as our friends forever. And 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the dead to show that he was stronger than death. He's alive today, and he continues to forgive all who put their trust in him. Well, when we come to know Jesus, then it actually changes our hearts to begin to want what God wants. And we say, well, rather than everything that I have is mine, we say everything that I have is his. That's a very different view of life, isn't it? Everything I have is his. And so we say, we've got this Heavenly Father, and everything we have has been given by him. It's actually his. He's just giving it to look after for the moment, and we've got to learn to use it in a way which pleases him, to be rich towards God in the way we use our things for other people, as well as to see how we can spread God's good message, the good news, around this area that other people may come to know Jesus. And when we know where our lasting treasure is, then we'll begin to use the things that we have in the right way, remembering that they're actually his. Jesus goes on to say later on in verse 33, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that won't wear out, a treasure in heaven that won't be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there is your heart also. So what's most important to you will lead you to make decisions. Well, in the eyes of the world, this man seemed so wise, didn't he? He didn't lack for anything. But he was a fool. He lived an empty life. He wasted his life on treasures that are stolen by thieves, they're destroyed by moths, or will simply be left behind by others. I wonder whether you're storing up your treasure in the right place. Jesus encourages us to store up our treasures in heaven and not on earth. Let's pray, shall we, that we will be such people. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the wisest teacher. We thank you that you came from heaven to earth to teach us about how important it is to think about heaven. And so we pray, Lord, that we won't be foolish, but we'll use our riches in a way which will spread the good news of the Lord Jesus. It will be a blessing to other people. And you'd help us not to suffer from this eye disease where we're greedy and we only think of mine and myself. Amen.